Now for a split sermon, Mr. Randy McQuinn.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Nice to see everyone here today on God's Sabbath day, God's Sabbath services. The title of my split sermon this afternoon is The Time Between the Prayers. The Time Between the Prayers. My message today is being taken from a Bible study that occurred Snowshoe, West Virginia, during Feast. It was given by Brian Shaw, the pastor of several churches in Minnesota, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Duluth, Little Falls, and then one congregation over in Wisconsin. And the name of his message during the Bible study was called Keep a Holy Convocation. So what I'll be speaking about today is some excerpts from his message. So I would recommend that if you have the opportunity to go out and check out his Bible study, How to Keep a Holy Convocation, or Keep a Holy Convocation, excuse me. Because his message showed the holy days, God's feast days, and God's weekly Sabbath, of how they're connected. So I wanted to talk about that today because his message stressed a mindset and a focus that we all need to have in observing God's Holy Sabbath and God's feast days. And I'll just be talking about the weekly Sabbath. Because in the Bible, what we are doing right now, because the time between two prayers, you just heard the first prayer, God's Sabbath day. The time now between these prayers is what I'll be speaking about. Because this is God's holy convocation. He has called us to be here. We're in God's presence. During this time, God has set apart his holy time, and it has a quality all of its own. We don't need to turn there, but in Exodus 20 and in Deuteronomy 5, where it speaks about the Sabbath, the seventh day, a 24-hour period, God's Sabbath. We are observing Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, that 24-hour period. Well, I would like to turn, if you would, to Exodus 12, verse 16. And for the few of those out there that were at Snowshoe, this will be a little rehearsal for you. Exodus 12, verse 16, this is where we first see the phrase holy convocation used. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation. This is speaking of the days of unleavened bread. But this is where the term holy convocation is first mentioned. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And a holy convocation is a calling, an assembly, which is what we are observing now. We are called. We are commanded by God to be here. This is a holy summons from our Father, from God. And there are three things that we share at this point in time. The first one is a common origin in our Creator. We all share that, a common origin in our Creator. And this should be on our mind as we're sitting here listening to the message. The second thing is a parallel purpose. Parallel purpose. Because we have a shared work of doing God's work. And that is the preaching of the gospel and preparing for the days that are coming. Some people call that the commission. Preaching the gospel and preparing a people. And if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Last two verses of Matthew 28. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." So that's our parallel purpose. We're a part of the work of God. And the third thing is a collective destiny in the kingdom of God. That is the path that we are on. Collective destiny in the kingdom of God. In Luke 12, verse 32. Here's Christ speaking, stating, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And we know that we will, if we endure to the end, that destiny that's been set for us, we will inherit the kingdom. God will give that to us. So the common origin in our Creator, a parallel purpose, and a collective destiny in the kingdom of God. We see that. If you like make reference, there's a song that was usually sung on the Sabbath, that's Psalm 92. Psalm 92, verses 1 through 15. Talks about these three items. Psalms 1 through 4 talks about the first common origin in our Creator. Verses 5 through 11 talks about the parallel purpose, the work that God has given us to do. And verses 12 through 15, you can read this on your own, but verses 12 through 15 talks about the collective destiny. It's forward-looking. Those verses talk about the forward-looking, our destiny. God's Sabbath services. It's not something, and this is where I had mentioned before of these aha moments, because there are things that are preached and you listen to, and then it makes you stop and think. How does that apply in my life? Well, God's Sabbath services. It's just not for us to come together to be served. We're not here to be served. We are here to serve God. We are here to serve our Father in heaven. Because we are coming before the very throne of God. We are before the very throne of God, at his court. Because the time between the two prayers, it doesn't belong to any one of us. It doesn't belong to church. That time belongs to God. We are here to serve God during that time. He has commanded us to be here. That time between the two prayers belongs to God. If you would, turn to John 10, verse 27. And hearing that makes us think more deeply. John 10, 27. Here Christ is speaking, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." God has called us. We are part. We are his congregation. But we are the ones that have been commanded. We are the ones that have been called at this time to serve God on the Sabbath day. And we're called for a specific purpose, and that's the unity of God. We're here in unity. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 4, we have to have a deeper focus, a deeper mindset of this time between that we're coming up, approaching the spring holy days. But each week, we're observing the Sabbath. We have to remember that this time is special. Revelation 14, verse 4. Breaking into the verse here. "These are they which follow the Lamb, wheresoever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, having the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb." So we're special in God's eyes. We're part of the first fruits. We're submissive. We're showing we are submissive to the Lamb, and that we follow God's word and the Lamb. Yeah, we are called before God's throne. God is always ruling from his throne. He never relinquishes his control, his authority. He never leaves his throne. A couple of verses, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. Examples showing God on his throne and Christ at his right hand. In Psalms 47, verse 8. Psalms 47, verse 8. "God reigns over the heaven," or excuse me, "God reigns over the heathen. God sits upon the throne of his holiness." And in Acts 7, verse 56. Here this verse is talking about Stephen. In verse 55, it talks about Stephen being full of the Holy Spirit, looking up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Time between the two prayers on God's Sabbath It's different to when we individually come before God in our own personal prayers. Different. When we come before God in our own personal prayers, that is our time with our Father. He allows us to set that agenda for us to personally come before Him in prayer each day. That's our agenda. Today, this is God's agenda. This is God's time. But there's a structure that we follow, and we'll be talking about that in a minute. Sabbath services is God's meeting with us. God is the host, and we appear before Him at His court, before His throne, where we see the 24 elders and the heavenly host. We read about that in Revelation 4, if you would turn to Revelation 4. Because one thing we don't want to do is be casual God's Sabbath services. We need to be very mindful, focused. We want to be performing on all cylinders for God. In Revelation 4, starting down, well, we can start in verse 1. It says, after this, John speaking, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. I'll just be skipping down. He was in the Spirit in verse 2. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper. And he talks about the different stones and the rainbow around the throne. And you can continue reading on down, talking about the lightnings and the thunders that are occurring around God's throne. This is what we're coming before, God's very presence. Again, we don't own this time between the two prayers. God owns that time, and we need to respect that. And God determines how we come before Him. It's His agenda, His decorum, His setting that we come. And that's what we need to be drinking in deeply when we're here. We're not here to be entertained. Yes, we're here to fellowship, but we also are here to observe and worship and praise God. In John 6, verse 44, and this is where, as I was listening to the Bible study in Snowshoe, I was thinking to myself, my own personal experience on the Sabbath day, and even during the holy days, how have I approached these days, my thoughts? Has it been totally focused on God, realizing where I am at that time? In His very presence. We as a congregation, we as a body of Christ, are we all in that zone, per se? Are we all drinking in what it really means to be here, to hear what God has prepared for us to hear and to learn and to apply it in our life? How does it relate to us personally and spiritually? In John 6, 44, again, Christ speaking, says, no man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Again, God is the one doing the calling. God is the one that's commanded us, those that He has called, to to follow his commandments, to observe his Sabbath. Also in John 6, over to verse 65, Christ speaking again, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." We're here for a purpose. We're here to respond to God. And we're here to keep God's holy convocation in spirit and in truth. Because God wants us to be here and to recognize and to appreciate two things for his called assembly. The first of those two things is God wants us to be here because he's wanting to teach us. We are receiving teaching from God. And it's the first thing of his called assembly. We're here to be taught by God. And the second thing is for the praise and thanks to God. This is just not now, but our praise and thanks to God for the rest of our life. We are so appreciative of God's calling. And the structure that is set up, that we participate in. The three hymns, the beginning of the service, are praising God in song. We're to come before him in praise and in singing. And the opening prayer, that is on the behalf of all of us. All of these assignments, we need those that are involved with these assignments and these responsibilities need to understand of how to apply themselves, of how we are being or impacting others that are listening to us, that are out there in the congregation. But we're all before the throne of God at this point in time. And don't you just know that God is sitting there going, "These are my children. Look how they praise me. Look how they're showing praise to their Father." It's a great feeling. I mean, it gives me chill bumps just thinking about it, you know. It's just wonderful. But the structure, God has structure. And he wants us to have structure and be in control and have that mindset for him before his very court. The teaching, whether it's a sermonette, split sermon, a movie, whatever it may be that occurs between those two prayers, is the teaching that God wants us to hear today, now. God is teaching us. Then the closing hymn in prayer. Again, God owns that time. God owns us. God owns everything. He is the creator of all things. And occasionally we have special music during this time. What makes it special when we say special music? Well, the direction of the special music. The direction to God. God is the recipient of the special music. It's not to us. We participate. But the direction is to God. The intent of the one performing, whether it's one or a group, whomever it may be, is presenting it to God. That's the intent. And it's being presented on behalf of the congregation. And if the heart is right on this special music, and God receives that, and we receive that as well in a special spiritual convergence, of knowing that God has received the special music, because that's the effect. When it's done successfully, it has the convocation effect. It's being presented to our Father. But we have participated in that praise. Now, throughout the week, we're split. We're our own lives, wherever we may be living during the week. But on God's Sabbath day, God's Sabbath services, we are here in unity. And we must live up to our Father's expectations. He wants us to. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to grow spiritually. He wants us to achieve. He wants to elevate us. He wants to give us the kingdom. So we cannot be frivolous with our time. We have to be sincere. We have to be focused. We have to be praising our Father. God is special. God is unique. He defines what is holy. He has a decorum. He has a protocol. And we should not take that lightly, ever. If you would like to jot down a couple of examples where in the Old Testament where people did not take that protocol seriously, where Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, when they put incense and went before the Lord, that showed they did not follow protocol. They did not do what God commanded. That was only Aaron's job. That's in Leviticus 10, excuse me, chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. That's an example of a couple of people taking upon themselves what they thought, in their opinion, what they could get away with. But that is not what God commanded to be done. We're to mirror what God does. If you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're to be emulating God in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40. It says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Decently and in order. And that is showing respect for God. He is our host. We base our lives from His written word because we know that God's word is truth. You read that in John 17, 17. We won't turn there for lack of time. He expects us, and we should expect this of ourselves, to do our observance and praise in His holiness and not base things on our opinions or our preferences. God wants things to be done in order and decency. And we need to be careful how we apply ourselves. We are always vigilant because Satan is there wanting to just mess us up, make us think that, well, this may be okay, or, well, you know, whatever the situation may be. We have to be careful because this is God's Sabbath services, His holy convocation. We just don't want to say, well, this is a worship service. Well, it's not a worship service. It's God's holy convocation. We are before His throne being taught of God. We don't want to limit the word worship only to a two-hour period, whether it's a Sabbath morning service or a Sabbath afternoon service. Worship for us, emulating God and Jesus Christ, is a 24/7. We're to be worshiping them 24/7, all the time. This is God's Sabbath services. Let's not become casual. Let's not become in our own mind while we're sitting here thinking of, well, what do I have to do after I leave here? Or, well, that potluck, well, that sure smells good. I can't wait to get in there to eat. There are distractions around us at all times. And we're not perfect yet. This time between the two prayers takes a lot of focus, but it's worth it. And God knows that we are to be building that mindset. We are not to be going through the motions. Sitting here between the two prayers is not completing observing the holy day, observing the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. It's part of observing the Sabbath day. But observing the Sabbath day is a 24-hour period. But this time now is God's time with his congregation. We should never forget the holiness and purpose-filled assembly. It's purpose-filled. We have been summoned. We have been commanded. We have been mandated to be here. Leviticus 23, in verse 3. Again, just rehearsing that verse 3 of Leviticus 23, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all of your dwellings. Keep emphasizing that. In our minds, in our hearts. And don't disregard our coming together. If you're able to be here, then be here. Part of the body of Christ. To have the appropriate response, the restraint in this sacred meeting. Put aside your pursuits. Put aside your thoughts of what is to come or what's outside of this two, between the two prayers. Try to focus. Try to stay focused. Try to keep your mind on what God is teaching. Again, that mindset, the deep respect for our host. So keeping a watch, staying focused, having a heightened degree, a very heightened degree of awareness. We have to police ourselves. We have to be aware of this, of what we are here for. But remember, we're here for God's teaching. We're here for praise to God. Such a wonderful thing, because it points to the forward looking, the future of the kingdom of God for each and every one of us. So let's remember that the time between the two prayers, that is God's time, and we are before the very throne of God.